The message this morning is based on the scripture reading that you just heard, the Christmas story. Now, this is familiar to most of you, so you've read it, you heard it, you even sang portions of it. So it's all very familiar. But because it is familiar, sometimes we don't think about the words. It just, you know, you just go over it. I think it is proper and fitting this morning, Christmas morning, to reflect on some of these words that we often hear and talk about, but we don't take time to think about them. So it is taken from Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. One of the most memorable moments in Christmas is the giving and receiving of Christmas gifts. You know, you see the presents, the gifts, beautifully wrapped, and then you unwrap them, and then you're surprised at what you get. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you may not be. But it is a memorable moment. I remember in my childhood, receiving Christmas gifts, and I still can remember some of them. And maybe that's true for some of you, that you can still remember some of the Christmas gifts you have received. But memories do fade, and they fade rapidly, so that pretty soon you don't even remember what you received. You don't remember those precious and exciting times when you were opening the gifts, and even the gifts itself just become a blur. This morning I'd like to talk about God's Christmas gift to us. Yes, He does. He did give us Christmas gifts. And it is found in the scripture reading that we just heard. God's Christmas gift is quite different from the kind of gifts that we give one another. For one thing, God's gift stays the same. It's very vivid. It doesn't become blurry. So, it's something that is precious that we remember years after. Also, God's gift is something that we need. You know, sometimes you get Christmas gifts, like let's say you get, three sweaters. Do you need all of them? But you can't say you don't need them, so you smile and you say, you're glad to receive all these sweaters. But there are sometimes you get gifts that you don't really need. But God's gift is something that is needed. Moreover, it is a gift that is for everyone. It's not, for young people or for old people or for, the female or male. There is no discrimination. There is no difference. It's for everybody. So this is why God's gift is quite different from the kind of gifts that we give one another. So they do not fade. They remain vivid. And God's gift is priceless. You know, people say, I spent so much money on the Christmas gift and so on. God's gift does not have a price on it. It is priceless. You cannot put a money value on it. So, these are the differences. And the gifts, as I mentioned, is told in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Actually, I'm going to concentrate on three of the verses because they tell us about the three Christmas gifts that God gives to us. The first gift is the gift of joy. Now I'm going to ask Hiro to put on the board in the screen the verse, if you can get it on. Luke 2:10 is what should be on there. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The good news is, of course, the birth of Christ. Well, he's getting it off the screen. Verse 10. If you can go back. Okay. We got it here. This. If you can get to the next. Oh, okay. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is the birthday announcement of Jesus. You know, birthday announcements are joyous, wonderful things. You know, when I get a birthday notice, I say, wow, how wonderful. So it's a time to, you know, be joyful. It's wonderful news. The wise men, when they saw that bright star, that was a birth announcement of Jesus. They knew it. And we find this in the Matthew 2:10, that the wise men rejoice with exceedingly great joy. See, Matthew is saying here that when they saw the bright star up in the skies, they rejoiced. They were happy. And they were extremely happy. It says here, exceedingly great joy. How happy can you get? Exceedingly with great joy. So we also sing about this, the Christmas carol, "Joy to the World." The Lord is come. Jesus came as a baby and brought joy to the world. So Christmas is Christ's birthday party, and that's why we celebrate it. You know, at JCCT we have once a month we have a birthday celebration of all those born during that month, and we have a cake, we light the candles, you know, and then we celebrate. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a joyous event. So birthday parties are really happy times. It's a time of celebration. We wholeheartedly participate in Jesus' birthday. You know, when you say Merry Christmas, as Tamal-san began the worship service by saying Merry Christmas, the word Merry, what does it mean? It means joyfulness. You don't say Christmas humbug, you know. It's Merry. Merry Christmas. It lifts up, just saying it lifts up your spirit. The good news, of course, is for each one of us. As we can see, I bring you, okay? And then it says, for all the people. So in one respect, it is personal. It's for you and I. It's personal. But it is also for everybody. So it's very personal, and it's also inclusive. It includes everybody. So is it just important? You know, when this occurred, it was not just for the Christian Jews, but for the Christian Gentiles as well, for everybody. Also, you will notice that in the verse, it says, good news, good news. It's positive, it's uplifting. In this world today, we need more positive news. You know, in the papers, in the internet, when you talk to people, you get a lot of bad news, sad news. What we need in the world today is more good news. The second gift is the gift of love. Now when we look at the scripture verse here, verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. It doesn't talk about love, but the key word here is Savior. Savior symbolizes God's love for us. God loved us, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If whosoever believeth shall not be condemned, but have eternal life. So, the Savior, what does Savior mean? Savior means a person who saves us from sin. So this is God's precious love for us. And this is the gift of love. That God sent his own Son so that we might know and trust him. That God did this because he liked us and he wanted us to know him. God came in the form of flesh, and he was called Emmanuel, which means, of course, God with us. Matthew 1:23. So God sent us a Savior. A Savior has been born to you. Luke 2:11, as you see here. Actually, the translation here, a Savior has been born to you. Actually, it's better to translate that for you. It is very personal. It is for you and I. That we can know Jesus, and that way we might live through him. I think it's best summarized in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And I'll read it here. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is God's gift of love. This gift of love is unconditional, unchanging. You say, how can it be? Love is the very essence of God. God's love is given by grace. What does that mean? It is freely given, although we may not deserve it. Is this gift costly? Yes. Very expensive, very costly, for it required the sacrifice of God's Son. But it is given free for all of us. The sacrifice has been accomplished. However, we need to accept it. Ephesians 2:8 says it best. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So the gift of love that God gives to us this Christmas comes by way of grace through faith. The third gift we find in this second chapter of Luke is the gift of peace. We can get to the next 14, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Sometimes in the King James Version it says, okay, goodwill toward man. But the word peace here, that's God's gift. The arrival of Christ, you know, as it was mentioned in the reading that Tamao read from Isaiah, Isaiah 9:6, there we find Christ's title, the Prince of Peace. So his arrival was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And then the verse continues on with the various titles of Jesus, ending with the title Prince of Peace. So God gives us this gift of peace. Now America is presently involved in two wars, actually one war we just concluded, although we have about 10,000 personnel in the embassy there, and the sectarian conflict has really picked up. But there are conflicts going all over the world. You know, we humans are not very good at achieving peace and living in peace. Policies, programs, treaties, laws, all of these things, institutions, they have not produced peace. So you ask the question, what produces peace? God's gift of peace begins with the individual, you and I. If peace is to come about, it must begin with each one of us. We must have peace within our hearts. That's where it all begins. When we have peace with God, then we can have peace with others. But at the individual level, interpersonal conflicts, you know, they're all around us. Arguments, bitterness, obnoxious behavior, you know, all of this results from our self-centeredness and our sinful nature. But in this verse here, that how can this peace rest on whom his favor rests? Christ, the Prince of Peace, is the answer. It has to reign in our hearts. So when this takes place, when we have peace within our hearts, the vertical relationship is with God is restored. So that sin doesn't separate us from God. And now Christ rules in our hearts. So we are no longer in conflict with God, nor are we rebelling from Him. Isaiah 26:3 says, you, meaning God, will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. It's saying here that God will give us true peace, perfect peace, if we trust in Him and we follow Him. So once we can get this kind of experience, then we have peace with God. And then we can begin to have peaceful relationship with people around us. In the Beatitudes, Christ talked about in Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:9, he says that we can be peacemakers. Peacemakers. Bringing people together. So, how can we become peacemakers? Well, we would have on whom his favor rests. It's only possible when we begin the process with ourselves, that Christ reign in our hearts. I was once talking to my brother-in-law. He served with the 442 Regimental Combat Team in World War II, which emerged as the most decorated military unit in the whole war. So this was a unit made out of Nisseis, completely made out of Nisseis. And he was describing this fighting in southern Italy, and he said, one day, you know, all the shooting stopped. Now, it was no prearranged, you know, situation. There was no meeting about it, no discussion. But all of a sudden, the Americans and the Germans stopped shooting. All of a sudden. And it was time for, you know, to take a break so that they could gather up the wounded and pick up the dead. But it just happens like that, without planning, because within the human heart, there is a bit of humanity, a bit of that goodwill that rests in it, even in the midst of brutal fighting. So it was amazing. He said, you know, they were all surprised. There were several Christmas truce during the First World War. Every time Christmas rolled around, there were moments when fighting stopped. So many stories have emerged, but one that took place on the Christmas evening of 1917 is one I would like to share with you, because it was quite remarkable. It showed the power of Christmas even during period of hostility and brutality. It occurred on the Western Front, where the Canadian unit was deployed. Now the German troops, this is trench warfare, First World War, they were very close that you could even hear them talking. It was that close. A piano was brought in. In those days, they didn't have one of these, you know, smaller ones, but they brought a piano into the trenches, and a lieutenant, Gitz Rice, began playing Christmas carols. The melody of Silent Night, Holy Night, rang out in that very cold night. Then he played the song that we just sang, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Suddenly they were startled because they heard the German soldiers singing Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, which is Silent Night, Holy Night in German. Then both sides began singing other carols that Christians all over the world were familiar with. A Canadian soldier sang an aria from Richard Wagner's opera, Tannhauser. And the German soldiers shouted, Mehr, mehr, which means more, more. So, and both sides began to come out of the trenches and they greeted each other, they exchanged food. And you know, it was extraordinary. For one night, the Christmas message, peace on earth, prevailed. The Christmas truce did not end the violence of the war, but it did temporarily set aside hostility. So a bit of humanity and civility emerged. You see, within each person's heart, there is a little bit of the Christmas spirit. All it needed was a spark to set it off. The carols did it. Unfortunately, the higher authorities put a stop to it, and the political systems would not tolerate such friendly relationship. So we have seen in these three verses that God gave us Christmas gifts. He gave us the gift of joy, the gift of love, and the gift of peace. Now these gifts are precious, they're priceless, they don't fade with time, they are practical, they are personal, and they are for all of us. They are presented to us all wrapped up, nicely wrapped up. And it's laid up in front of us. But we have to accept them. And if you really want to enjoy them, you have to open up the gift. You just can't stare at it. You have to open the gifts. Sadly, for some people, the gifts are just left there. And then even if they pick it up, sadly, they are left unopened. But the good news is that they're available all the time. It doesn't have to be Christmas. It's available all the time. It did come during Christmas, but it's accessible throughout the year. But this time, this morning, is appropriate for us to focus on God's gift, for us to open them, to enjoy them, and to thank the Lord for His special gifts of joy, love, and peace that came with the birth of His Son. So let us celebrate. Let's pray. Majestic Father, we thank You for Your precious gifts of joy, love, and peace that You gave to us during that Christmas, way back. These are precious gifts, priceless. That's for each one of us. We do, however, have to accept it, and we do have to open it. But Lord, we know that it's there for each one of us. So this morning, we are just so thankful that not only can we have these gifts, but we can share it with others. That these gifts will be eternal, everlasting. They do not fade. We do not have to rely on our memories. So we thank You for sending Your Son that we can have these gifts, and that we appreciate and we want to make it a part of our lives. So we just, day to day, appreciate what You have done. In the precious name of Jesus, the name above all other names, Amen.